Hi, I'm Taylor Smurl, and I'm an experienced bartender.
And I'm Tommy Smurl. I'm an experienced drinker.
He's my dad, and together this is...
Neat! A weekly booze cast.
With history lessons, trivia, and a twist.
So pull up a stool to the bar and join us for the lowdown on your highball. Hello, Happy New Year! First one of 2021.
Yeah, neat 2021.
We made it.
Neater, hopefully.
Neater?
More neat?
I thought it was funny. Somebody posted on our new Facebook page, our new neat Facebook group page. Somebody posted a picture of a shirt with a drink that in a cocktail glass that was half drink, and it said over top of it, neat. And I said, hey, which came first?
Well, I think that the concept of that illustration did, because I've seen a similar thing on a greeting card. So but you know, that's all right. It's a good idea. That's why we took it.
So we'll sell their shirts, huh?
I guess, well, we can make our own. I don't think anybody copyrighted. I mean, a neat is a term for a cocktail. So I think having a picture of a cocktail and the word neat, it's just a concept.
Well, we could buy some. That. We could buy some, and I could get a real good marker and write "Booze Cast" under it.
You know what? I don't think we want to start the year off with art theft. that seems like a bad way to go. Let's not do that.
I've already gotten into selling the T-shirts before, and that's a losing situation. I'm not going to try that again.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. You just got to do it right. Maybe one day we'll have a t-shirt. I'd like us to have a t-shirt, but not yet. We're not there yet.
Yeah, it could be that I just wasn't smart enough to make it work.
Well, pricing is a whole other thing, but all right. That's what we're not talking about t-shirts. It is, of course, it's January. Everybody has made their resolutions, that is going to make resolutions. It's fine if you didn't, especially this year. No need to do anything but just keep on trucking. Self-improvement, that can wait for 2022.
my only resolution is to get a vaccine against COVID.
I think that's most people's only resolution, or that's the best one you can come up with. But, of course, inevitably, a lot of people do make resolutions to be healthy, more health conscious, you know, eat better, drink less. A lot of people are doing Dry January right now. Good for you if you are. If not, that's okay, too. But, you know, I usually do. I usually do Dry January. I'm not going to do it this year.
Yeah, 2020 isn't far enough in the rearview mirror yet to quit drinking.
Well, you know, it's that I just kind of feel like, no, this is, I don't need to be any harder on myself this year. But also, like, it's weird because, you know, usually through the holidays, I'm working a lot behind the bar and there are holiday parties in the industry. You know, every liquor brand has a party. There's just a lot of drinking. There's a lot of partying. And I feel like I need January to just like wring myself out. So it's a good time to not be drinking. But whereas I think a lot of people are drinking more because of the pandemic, which, you know, that's understandable. I'm not going to judge anybody on that. It's weird that I think I'm actually drinking less because I'm not working in a bar. And, you know, for better or for worse, the industry it's hard. There's a lot of temptation in the industry. So I didn't really have that feeling this year because I live alone. I'm alone most of the time. I don't drink in excess alone. So it's just, it's been a pretty dry year for me.
Well, I think that makes sense. You don't work in a bar, so you don't drink as much. I mean, if I don't eat as many Big Macs because I don't work at McDonald's. If I worked at McDonald's, I imagine I would eat a dozen Big Macs a day.
I mean, you know, that's the thing. It's just like, you don't really think about it, but yeah, when you're working, you know, it's just normal to like, you try a couple cocktails, like sample them to make sure they taste right when you're working. You do a few shots with customers, regulars, you know, you have a drink or two at the end of your shift. You might go visit a buddy at his bar afterwards and have like a drink or two. And you just don't think about it. I was like, I had 10 drinks tonight. It was over the course of like 8 hours, but still, it's just a lot of alcohol.
Yeah, that's right. It all adds up if it's right there and available.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like, you know, I haven't had a drink yet this year. I drank on New Year's Eve. I haven't had a drink yet this year, but not because I've been actively trying, just because that's just my lifestyle now. But I'm not holding myself to anything because it's still stressful times. And, you know, it is what it is.
There's no reason to add extra stress. Just take each day one at a time.
There you go. But if you are one of those people looking to make healthier choices in the new year, you might be tempted to get into, maybe drinking apple cider vinegar. I see that touted a lot as like a thing to do. And really, vinegar as a whole is brought up as like a health food and something good for your system. But vinegar also has a long history in the world of classic cocktails. So I thought, in the spirit of the new year, we could talk about the sort of duality of this healthy, but also definitely pairs well with booze ingredient.
Yeah, because I'm on my vinegar cleanse. I'm drinking 4 gallons of vinegar a day.
Now, don't do that. That's definitely bad. In fact, we'll put a pin in the thought of the health benefits of vinegar. We're going to come back to that. But this is not a... We are closely related to the Sawbones podcast, and I don't want to tout any false health beliefs here. We'll come back to whether or not it's good for you. But don't do that. Definitely don't drink gallons a day.
I'll hold off.
But of course, just for basics, I want to just give you briefly, what is vinegar? What are we talking about? In short, it's just an aqueous solution of usually around 5 to 8% acetic acid. Commercial vinegars, the ones that are used in culinary uses, are generally on the lower scale of that acid concentration. And it's produced by the fermentation of sugars or ethanol by acetic acid bacteria. So its name comes from Latin vinum, or wine, and acer, or sour. So quite plainly, it's sour wine is the root of the word. Now, history-wise, vinegar making is easily as old as alcohol brewing itself. I mean, it just makes sense. You know, alcohol can turn to vinegar very easily. People were drinking both, you know, whether or not it was sour. But the first documented evidence of like people purposely drinking vinegar, purposely drinking these quote unquote soured wine, the quote unquote soured wine, comes to us from ancient Babylon, like 3000 BC, where Babylonians would mix vinegar and water to make their water safe to drink. It was that early understanding of, we know water can be bad for us, we don't know why. Just add some vinegar to it, it makes it fine. And similar practices were found in the Egyptians, the early Chinese. Of course, you know, the Greeks and Romans got in on that. If there was something involving alcohol, the Greeks and Romans had an opinion about it. They were making some. So, you know, as with alcohol, every civilization came to understand vinegar in its own way and used it in both medicinal and culinary applications. Now, moving forward, the Middle Ages really saw the birth of like the commercialization of vinegar production. You had a lot of Islamic scholars that were the first to isolate acetic acid, really understand what's going on there. And then you had brewers all across Europe developing their own staple vinegars. This is where we see malt vinegar come about in the UK, balsamic in Italy. The Orleans method arises in France, which makes some of the best wine vinegars still used today. And up through the 19th century, the continued industrialization found ways to make vinegar in a matter of days and from a lot of different fermenters. So nowadays, of course, there are all sorts of types of vinegar available. You have fruit vinegars made from fruit wines. You have coconut vinegar fermented from coconut water. There's cane vinegar from cane sugar, grain vinegar that can be made from rice or wheat, you know, highly concentrated like distilled vinegars, which it's not, the vinegar itself is not distilled, but rather it's made from a distilled spirit, and those can be really, really corrosive, really high in acid.
I love malt vinegar. They have at some places like Penn Station, when they have those hand-cut fries with the skin still on them, and then they have malt vinegar to put over them. Oh, I love those. Although that doesn't sound very healthy, though, does it?
I think I prefer like chips, fries with vinegar instead of fries with ketchup. Like, I like that better. Like, I think, I don't know, I feel like fries already kind of, they're not sweet necessarily, but I like an acid to offset all that fat more than I want something sweet to offset it, you know?
Yeah, I always ask for the malt vinegar when they have it at places that have that.
Yeah. I know someone in our family detests that. Is that mom? Is mom super against that?
Riley doesn't like it.
Okay. All right. Well.
Riley likes ketchup.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure the UK disagrees with Riley on that. But yeah, so they invented malt vinegar, so it makes sense that they would find a emblematic way of using it. But of course, you know, how vinegar works its way into our cocktail glass comes via something called a shrub. I'm not talking about a little tree. It's a cocktail ingredient.
Now, and you just milk the tree?
No, there are no, well, I was going to say there are no trees involved. You can definitely use like herbs and stuff in a shrub. I don't know if there's any sort of shrub that you could use in a shrub. I'm not really sure. A shrub. Probably someone's done it. But in this sense, we're talking about shrub that's derived from the Arabic word sharab, which means to drink. And in the sense we are discussing today, a shrub is a syrup that contains vinegar, sugar, and either fruit or vegetables, whole or in juice forms. They've either macerated together or they've just been combined. And behind the bars these days, we treat them kind of like a cocktail syrup. You know, they'll be fortified with a base spirit, offset with other acids or bitters, you know, shaken, served with soda. They're kind of used in a variety of ways. But shrubs, in their original conception, were actually invented apart from the world of cocktails. The uses of the word shrub to refer to what we're talking about is a little muddled in its origin. Like, it took a minute for the vinegar to get involved. But it dates back to 15th century, like, Europe, where smugglers who wanted to avoid taxes when they were bringing in, you know, booty. Not booty, what am I trying to say? When they were bringing in...
They were bringing in booty rum.
They were bringing in stuff. They would, like, submerge their barrels of booze underwater and then reclaim them later to avoid having to be pay tax on them. And that would sometimes, like, cause the barrels to go off by the seawater, get a little fouled. And so they would add fruit, sometimes spices, to that to improve the taste. This unique combination of, like, slightly spoiled spirit plus, like, some fruit, maybe some spices, that was the first thing that was referred to as shrub. And it was fairly popular, especially among sailors. Now, around the same time, we're talking pre-refrigeration Europe right now, acidic juices like lime or lemon would be used to make preserves of fresh fruit. Now, if you cut ahead to the colonies in the 17th century, those fresh fruit juices were harder to come by, so they would sub in vinegar, which is easier to make, it's cheaper to buy. They would sub vinegar into fruit preserves, creating the version of shrub that's much closer to what we know it as today.
Yeah, Florida was not the large citrus state that it is now, so you didn't have, you know, all that available at your local produce market.
Yeah, yeah, this was, I mean, lemons and limes were still somewhat of a luxury at the time. And the amounts that you'd need to preserve large quantities of fruit and veg, you just didn't have. But by the 19th century, this had become sort of popular, not just as a way to, like, a sub in preserves to be, you know, eaten. It just became a drink all of its own. So this was more of like a thinned out, like, fruit-infused vinegar. And it was seen as a health tonic. They thought it had, like, a cooling effect on the body. They would often give you shrub for, like, a fever. This is not scientifically accurate. Tasty, but won't break your fever. So just as much as it was a popular health tonic, it becomes popular just as a mixer in cocktails or just non-alcoholic drink with soda water. But by the 19th century, this has become... Now, along the same timeline arises a specific form of shrub that you may have heard of, and that's switchel.
Yeah, switchel or switzel or swizzle or switchy, ginger water, or haymaker's punch. They had all kinds of different names for it.
It's got a lot of names.
It's a drink made of water mixed with vinegar and often seasoned with ginger. It is usually sweetened with molasses, though honey, sugar, brown sugar, or maple syrup are sometimes used instead. In the U.S. state of Vermont, oatmeal is often added to the beverage, which I don't understand that. But switchel debatedly originated in the Caribbean, but New England also holds credit as a source. So since they're both back and forth on the same trade routes, it's very likely that they just, one of them carried it back and forth from the other one to the other one. But by the 19th century, it had become a traditional drink to serve to thirsty farmers at hay harvest. That's where it got the name Haymaker's Punch. Herman Melville, remember him? He wrote Moby Dick.
Did I say he was the guy who was mad about a whale, right?
Right, but he also wrote a book called I and My Chimney. I can't say I've ever heard of that one. And he says, I will give a traveler a cup of switchel if he want it, but am I bound to supply him with a sweet taste? And in The Long Winter by Laura Ingalls Wilder of Little House on the Prairie fame. Of course, I think Little House on the Prairie is before you, wasn't it, Tay?
No, I loved those books.
Well, that was the books. I used to watch a TV series.
Oh, well.
The TV series was... Yeah, well, I always watched the TV series. That was where I learned of it. But they describe in the book a switchel-type beverage that her mother had sent for Laura and her father to drink while haying. Ma had sent them ginger water. She had sweetened the cool well water with sugar, flavored it with vinegar, and put in plenty of ginger to warm their stomachs so they could drink it till they were not thirsty anymore. Ginger water would not make them sick as plain cold water would when it were so hot.
That of course that would be from those books, because that was the thing that I loved about the Little House on the Prairie books is the way they described like food and coffee and anything they were consuming, even though it was definitely not like anything decadent, it always sounded so good. Like the way that they would describe like biscuits with honey just sounded like the most delicious thing in the world.
Well, for some reason, the popular thought in those days were when you're out working in the heat, you don't want to drink a cold beverage. You want to drink a warm beverage. So they would make this concoction because the ginger, they said, would kind of burn on the way down the way that alcohol burns when you drink it. Mm-hmm. But of course, you don't want to drink alcohol when you're out exerting yourself and exercise and everything. So this would simulate that same feel, though, and would kind of invigorate you while you're out there working.
Well, and that addition of the ginger was really important because shrubs had already kind of been held up as like a healthy thing to drink when you're working that is, you know, opposed to alcohol. But you drink a lot of just vinegar in solution and you're going to get kind of bloated. That ginger does have a slight aid in digestion. So the addition of the ginger along with the vinegar made something that you could drink more of and be comfortable longer.
And you want that when you're out haying.
Yes, I don't want to feel bloated when I'm haying. That's important.
Now, the only haying I ever do is when I see the neighbor's barbecue and I say, hey, y'all, what you cooking?
Well, all right.
That's it for my haying.
That's it. Well, the only haying I do to these days is to my cat. Hey, Jack. That's it. Well, one other important sort of historical note, of course, to shrubs and switchel is that they were very popular during what else but Prohibition, because they were, to one sense, touted as a good stand-in for if you wanted an alcoholic drink, but obviously no one was allowed to drink alcohol at the time, you could drink a shrub or a switchel drink and it would kind of stand into it. But probably the more nefarious use of they were really potent flavors that were good at masking rough booze. So they were one of those many things that came behind the bar as you've got some bathtub gin, it tastes super gnarly, put some shrub on top, put some vinegar on top, and you're not going to taste that super rough gin.
Well, I guess that's a good idea. You add something to it because the vinegar, you know, I always like the smell of vinegar. I don't know what it is with that. I've never really wanted to drink vinegar per se, but the smell of vinegar is so good. You use it to clean out your coffee maker, you know. Mine has a little alarm that comes on, I don't know, after it counts the number of pots or just after so long or what, but it comes on and it tells me, hey, pour a pot of vinegar in here and clean it out before we continue going anymore, because it freshens it up so that you don't get all that build-up old grungy coffee taste that's stuck up in there.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, drinking vinegars, in some sort of solution, usually cut with a sugar, some sort of fruit, it's not like this is the advent of the shrub in, you know, Europe and then in America is sort of one path of development. But you find like drinking vinegars in a lot of cultures. I mean, I know like in Japan, drinking vinegar is a pretty normal thing. You'll find like these really lovely, delicate vinegars, and they're expensive. But they're meant really just you drink them with some soda water, like that's kind of it. Or you drink them on their own. And I one of my favorite bars here in the city, Hagi, they used to have this on their menu. I don't think they've had it on for about a decade, but they used to have a small list of just drinking vinegars that you could have with shochu and soda. And it was my absolute favorite thing. Just like a really delicate plum vinegar with a little bit of shochu, which, you know, the kind of similar to like a vodka, and then soda water. And so drinking vinegar, it's you're not the only one that's thought like, oh, that smells good. I wonder how I can, if I can consume that. You know, as long as we've been drinking booze, it seems we found a way to drink vinegar.
Well, I can understand how it would cover up, though, the taste. Because, you know, your taste is combined with smell. You don't taste if you don't smell.
Yeah.
So that smell probably overrides the other tastes that are in, you know, bad gin or something like that, like you say. And so that makes the whole thing more palatable.
Yeah. And then, you know, these were popular ingredients, both like in your, you know, your doctor might prescribe them to you, but then your bartender was also mixing with them all throughout the 19th century. It's around the 20th. And then, of course, in the 21st century, they start to fall out of favor with the loss of American bar culture. We lose a lot of ingredients, including shrubs and switchel. They really don't start to have a comeback in culture until pretty recently. Like, not even like, you know, I talk about like the revitalization of cocktail culture as if it's a recent thing. At this point, it's been going on for, you know, two decades. Like, we've got 20 years of people bringing back cocktail culture. But shrubs and switchel were sort of one of the last things to be revitalized because they're a little bit off the beaten path. And I mean, nowadays, most bars, cocktail menus will contain a couple drinks made with a shrub. You have like on the stores of your, you know, fancy grocery stores, you can find pre-made shrubs and switchel like readily available to drink. And it's kind of been brought back by this combined effort, not just of the cocktail world, but also the health industry has brought back switchel and shrubs as, you know, new ways to improve your gut health and detox and clear your skin. So they're definitely having like a moment right now, which is, I think as a bartender is great because I think like I love shrubs are probably the, like one of my top three favorite cocktail modifiers. I love vinegar. I love drinking vinegar. I love kombucha. I love that bitter acidic taste. And I love mixing that into cocktails. And I think it's an easy way. A shrub is such a great tool because you really don't have to do much more with a drink. It already is giving you acids, it's giving you sweetness, it's giving you bitter, it's giving you fruit or vegetable. It does so much of the legwork in a good drink for you, and it's just ready to go.
Well, I think it sounds good. Like for someone like me, I'm not, as you know, I'm more of a beer drinker than anything. I do have a mixed drink now and then, or have a glass of bourbon or something like that. But for the most part, I'm not a big drinker. But a lot of the reason is I don't want to drink just shots of liquor. You know, if I'm going to have a drink, I want something I'm going to enjoy. I don't want to just pound shots.
Yeah.
And that, you know, so what I need is something to mix with it. But no mixers ever seem good to me because they're all too sweet. I don't want to drink sodas with them, you know, Cokes or 7-Ups or whatever. And I don't want to put in orange juice and grapefruit juice. I'm not a juice drinker anyway. So those don't appeal to me. But something like this would be something you could mix with, you know, a shot or two of liquor. And it would be a nice, refreshing drink.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I mean, I think even like I love the concept of tonic in that I like the taste of like quinine. I like that bitter. But tonic also then is paired with so much sugar. Like there are some artisanal tonics that are nice and dry. But I agree. Like switchel to me, it's all of the other elements of a cocktail in one solution and definitely offsets a base spirit much better than just a sweet mixer does. And the thing is also, while yes, plenty of brands have capitalized on this concept and put expensive shrubs and switchels in your grocery store, they could not be cheaper or easier to make. You know, if you've got some raspberries that are about to go bad or some blackberries or something, and you've got some vinegar and some white sugar, just make a shrub. It will preserve the life of your fruit and you get a really cool ingredient out of it. You know, you've got some herbs that are going to go bad, throw that in there. You can make a, you know, a blueberry basil shrub that'll be amazing. It's a really, it's definitely like, it's a great formula for bringing in so many different elements and none of them are expensive.
Yeah, you can mix up a batch, a big batch, and keep it there, you know, in your refrigerator, and it'll keep for the most part. And, you know, it's something that it says, like I was reading an article from Bon Appetit, and it said you should use good ingredients and make up these things. Don't spare. Like, you know, it's never as good when you go to make a pina colada or a margarita. If you buy the bottles of the pre-made mix, it's not going to be as good. But you make something like this with fresh herbs and things like that and do it yourself, add molasses or honey or whatever to your taste and mix that in, it's going to come out much better.
Yeah. And you know, you don't need a lot of it. A little shrub goes a long way for flavor in your drink. So definitely, even if you use really good ingredients, you're never going to spend that much money because it lasts for a long time. And as Dad mentioned, it's not completely shelf stable. Is whenever you have like fresh fruit or veg there, you have the opportunity for things to start to turn. But in your fridge, if you keep it cold, it will absolutely last for months. Like it's good for a long time if you make it with a proper like high acid solution. You know, some shrub recipes put in a bit more juice or sugar and keep the acids kind of low, but you usually want like a 2-to-1 acid vinegar to other stuff ratio. And over, we're going to, you know, over on the video, we'll get a bit more into the specifics of how to make it. But as we mentioned at the beginning, for your healthy January, is drinking just a whole bunch of shrubbery going to get you off on the right foot? Well, the science says, I don't know about that. Nowadays, you know, it gets touted as helping with cholesterol, with weight management, with insulin, like managing insulin levels. And the sort of science behind that is pretty minimal. There are some studies that suggest that having a meal that has vinegar in it can give you a longer sense of like satiation. So you'll feel fuller longer, which might cause you to eat less, I guess is the idea behind that. That it can help slow your digestion and will, and there are studies that show that it causes lower insulin spikes with people with diabetes. So there's that. And also, of course, just, you know, logically, if you flavor your meal with vinegar instead of something like salt, because it can also, the vinegar will also open up your palate, much like salt does. Just having less sodium in a meal is usually good for you. So there's that. But outside of that, it can also have some downsides to your health. Drinking a lot of vinegar can be bad for your tooth enamel. It can erode that. There are a lot of cases of people going into the hospital with actually like damage to their esophagus because they did think chugging apple cider vinegar was a good idea. So don't do that.
Don't do that. So I won't drink my 4 gallons of vinegar a day.
No, don't do that. But you found something cool that I did not about, I guess, one application where it kind of did some good.
Well, they said that in the colonial days when they used it, that it was more or less, you know, you didn't have Gatorade around or sports drinks. So they drank it to rehydrate and replace electrolytes, although they didn't know that's what they were doing because they didn't understand electrolytes yet in those days. It wasn't until the late 19th century before they understood electrolytes. But they drank this quenching beverage, which functioned much like modern Gatorade. It contained water, a sweetener, either molasses, maple syrup, honey, or brown sugar, ginger, and cider vinegar. All the ingredients except for water happen to be sources of potassium, an electrolyte, and molasses is especially high in potassium. So that's what they were drinking, and it even dates back to, some sources say it was brought to the colonies from the West Indies. Others credit the Amish communities who still serve it. It may also be related to oxenol, which was the medicine mixture of water, honey, and vinegar that dates back to Hippocrates.
Wow. So there is, so, you know, maybe it's not going to cure well, it's not, your diseases.
Yeah, it's not the
but
vinegar so much
hydrated.
As some of the other components that are in there, like molasses right. is high in potassium.
Well, and I think that a lot of people think it is the vinegar because, you know, it tastes similar to so many things that are good for you because of probiotics. And vinegar does have active cultures to a certain degree, so you would think it could qualify as a probiotic, but the vinegars we get on the shelf, they don't have the same level of active cultures that you're going to get from other fermented products, you know, from kombucha, from yogurt or kefir, from, you know, miso or tempeh. Like there are probiotic foods out there that can help with your, you know, gut flora, with your bacterial populations inside of you. Vinegar, for the most part, is not going to do that on its own. So, you know, there's that.
Well, it's like a lot of things. You need to do it in moderation.
Yeah. And I mean, I will say, you know, it is, as a topical antimicrobial or as an antifungal, as Dad mentioned, it's very good at cleaning coffee pots. It's an acid, which can be good in cleaning things, but not necessarily cleaning your body. Cleaning your countertops, vinegar pops up in a lot of natural cleaning products. You know, weed killers, natural weed killers, vinegar is good for that. As far as drinking half a bottle of apple cider vinegar a day, don't do it. It's bad for your teeth. It's bad for your throat. And the health benefits are minimal and a little shaky. I'm sure some people have anecdotal experiences that it's helped them, but by and large, we don't have any firm science that, outside of the few things that we've mentioned, there's a overwhelming benefit to drinking large quantities of vinegar.
Well, you know, it's like bleach. Bleach will kill COVID outside the body, but have we thought about injecting it and maybe doing like a cleaning? Is that something maybe we should look into?
I think if you shine a light down your throat and then drink some bleach, that's it. Don't do that. yeah, nobody do that. Don't drink bleach. Don't drink acid. Welcome to this alcohol podcast where we need to tell you the corrosive substances that you should not imbibe.
Don't eat Tide Pods.
Yeah, don't do that either. None of these things make a tasty drink. Well, you know what? Regardless of any present or absent health benefits, switchelin shrubs are beautiful ingredients in cocktails. I'm very happy to get to play around with some over on the video today. They're super easy to make. It's one of those things that breaks down more into a formula that you can plug lots of things into rather than just one specific recipe. And those are my favorite kinds. I love formulas. So we'll make some shrubs and switchel drinks. We'll show you how easy they are to work with.
That's what I'll be interested in, make up a batch of switchel and then try some different alcohols with it and see how they taste, what works best.
And I will say, if you are doing dry January, you're not left out of this, because honestly, a nice batch of switchel, which is alcohol free with a little soda water, is beautiful. It's a great stand-in. If you want a thing to help you get through dry January but make you feel like you're still drinking, switchel and shrubs are great for that, because they give you that sort of acid, bitter, sweet experience free from alcohol. So
the ginger gives you the burning sensation like sometimes alcohol does when you drink it.
That's true.
I mean, a good burning, not the bad burning, the good kind.
Yeah, it's the good burn.
What kind where you drink it, you go, ah, I needed that.
Oh, it's definitely, it's a beautiful product on its own. And yeah, if you're not drinking for January, or you just don't drink at all the time, I think you should still check out the video, because switchel is delicious.
Make a mocktail out of it.
It is. It's my favorite thing to use. I love having switchel on the bar, because so many mocktails I feel like break into, I'm just making you a really cool lemonade, which is still good, but you know, here's a cool syrup, here's some fruit thrown in or some herbs. But when you've got like switchel back there or a shrub, you're like, oh no, I can make you something really cool.
We'll make up some good ones and see what we can come up with.
Yeah, there was a bar that used to be here in my neighborhood. And they embrace switchel. They had like a whole, I don't know, it was a bit of like a hipster trying to look like Appalachia, but none of the people involved were actually from Appalachia. I didn't love that. But
and we try they, not to they, look like Appalachia.
Well, look, no, there's nothing wrong with looking like Appalachia, but this was definitely like a Midwesterner's idea of what Appalachia was, and who moved to Brooklyn and financed a bar. But they had switchel heavily on the menu, and they had like a switchel back, they called it. So it was like a shot of whiskey and a shot of switchel to chase it. Yeah. And it was actually really, it was really good. It was a smart idea.
Well, if they wanted to do a real Appalachian style, what they should have done is a ramp-based switchel.
They did. They would have ramps on their menu every now and then, but then it was also like, this is like a $30 ramp dish. Like, I feel like that's wrong.
They grow wild on the hills. You don't need to pay $30 for them. You can go out and grab a handful. Just, nobody wants them around. They smell so bad.
That's just onion grass. We would just like eat it when we were playing outside.
Yeah. Hey, look, onions are growing. Who planted these onions? God.
Yep. It's just, yeah. I don't know. But all right. So definitely check out the video. We'll have that up later this week. And of course, if you would like to find us on our social medias, we are on Instagram and Twitter at NeatBoozeCast. You can email us at NeatTheBoozeCast@gmail.com. You can join our Patreon if you'd like, be one of our patrons, and you will be gifted with stickers and coasters and all sorts of cool stuff over there on our Patreon. And obviously, check out our YouTube channel for all of our videos. And Dad has a Facebook group.
Yeah, don't forget the Facebook group. Me and Zuckerberg are hanging out over there waiting to chat with you.
You can chat directly with my co-host on Facebook. So, yeah. So, thank you for joining us in this new year. Thank you, Dad.
Well, thank you, Tater. I appreciate you bringing me into the fold and us on this new adventure together.
Yeah, we got a new year in front of us. Let's make it good. Starting off with a fun topic. Going to start off with some fun drinks. I'm excited. All right. Well, I have been Taylor Smurl.
And I've been Tommy Smurl.
And this has been...
Neat!
I never know how that's going to come out.
I think I figured out why they call it a shrub.
Why?
Because you hide your drink kind of behind the taste of it. You know, instead if it's bad gin. And when we were kids, we would hide behind the shrubs playing hide and seek. So somebody said, well, it's hiding the drink. It's a shrub. Just like when we hid behind a shrub. Get it?
That's not where it historically the word came from, but I like that as an explanation that you could probably tell people and they wouldn't question.
You could get away with that, huh?
That sounds like one of those, like, a barman who doesn't know the answer to a question, but as many bartenders do, they just lie and make up something that sounds cool, and then 30 years later, that's just been told as truth. Like, well, this is where that comes from, let me tell you. There's a lot of that in bartending. You're a natural, Dad. Maybe not with the drink making, but definitely with the... just making up shit on the spot.
I was going to say, I think I've passed off a few of those on you all that you will repeat those stories and only find out later in life that it wasn't true.
Absolutely. So good. So good. Such a great skill.